Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 1st. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We do indeed believe in the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. We got a lot to cover. We got a little time. We got 2 hours of incredible talk. And then the news preparation starts for the next broadcast. We are on the air 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. And man, we love to share our time with you. Welcome to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. Okay, yesterday's broadcast, just a quick recap. We talked about Carrie Lake does not concede after, quote, Maricopa County certifies, I would say fraudulently certifies, but that's an opinion to which I'm entitled. We also talked about, sadly, Oath Keeper founder Stuart Rhodes was convicted of, quote, seditious conspiracy. They say that he had a violent plot to overturn Joe Biden's election, handing the Justice Department a major victory in the January 6th massive prosecution situation. I consider Stuart Rhodes a dear friend. I am not abandoning him. He's far from perfect, as we all are, but you know what? I don't believe he intended a violent overthrow of the country. I do believe he intended to defend Donald Trump. I do believe that Stuart Rhodes, as I do, we believe election fraud took place and we wanted Congress to investigate it. Congress refused to do their duty. They were derelict in their duty. And Stuart Rhodes basically staged a situation where if he needed to defend Donald Trump, that could have been done by the citizens of this country. Since Donald didn't take the action Stuart Rhodes thought he might, Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers didn't take the action either. Oath Keepers were seen. It's on video. If you go to theepictimes.com and watch the other side of the January 6th story, you'll find out Oath Keepers did help police officers and did peacefully act appropriately. They escorted police officers to safety. I believe the jury was fed dishonest information by the judge. I believe that the jury was not fully informed. I believe the jury was stacked against the Stuart Rhodes. This is a very political case. Most folks don't understand people like me or Stuart Rhodes or others who peacefully want to restore this country. But you know what? Because we've seen so much criminal activity, we want to take action. And so I'm defending Stuart. I think he was railroaded, and I think it was wrong. And I hope some way truth can come out. Again, I'm not telling you Stuart Rhodes is perfect. I know people can call me and deliver dirt on him. I know his ex-wife and family and stuff like that are, you know, saying he's a bad guy and all this stuff. But, folks, I've been friends with Stuart for a long time. I'm not his best friend by any means, but I've known him over the years. And you know what? I think he's a good guy. I've had a lot of personal conversations with Stuart, et cetera, and I believe he means well. Anyway, the deep state is going to barbecue folks like Stuart Rhodes, even though the FBI says, hey, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys did not have an overthrow agenda. Never mind the inside government provocateur whistleblowers. Hopefully, Stuart Rhodes can bring more of that information out as time goes on. But even though the FBI informants and everything else inside say that the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys and all this did not have an insurrection agenda, the government maintains there still was. And I agree there was. The problem is they've got the wrong people fingered. The Ray Epps of the world run around free, even though we have evidence on video of their shenanigans and ill-gotten behavior. They run free while Stuart Rhodes sits behind bars. Something is wrong, my fellow Americans. And I'm not abandoning Stuart Rhodes over this. You can say, well, Sam, he's a, and you can go on and on and on with all the fill in the blanks. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not going to just betray our guys and trust the government side of the story. Oh, no. Now, they had all these messages they claim that put Stewart not in a very favorable light. But you know what? All that was encrypted private communication. And none of that is violent. Stewart did not enter the Capitol that day and was not violent. That's the facts. You can put whatever hacked rhetoric on the books you want, but how much of the story did the government tell? We know they withhold evidence. We saw it in the Ammon Bundy case. We've seen it in many cases, folks. And now we're seeing it with the Stuart Rhodes case. And if you think your communications are encrypted, that's what others believed as well. I don't believe you have encrypted communication from the government at all. I believe the government will absolutely go ballistic if there is any encryption that they cannot have access to or crack. So the bottom line is, what information got put before the jury? I don't know. But I can tell you this, I'm not comfortable with it at all. All right, so I'm defending Stuart Rhodes. I may not even be defending his everything he said or did, okay? Because he's got his own views and I've got my own views. We might go about it differently. It's kind of like Ammon Bundy. You know, Ammon Bundy took over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. I was there at the time. I was invited to be the media man inside. I chose not to. So me and Ammon Bundy went down different roads. But you know what? I still have tremendous respect and support Ammon Bundy, even if I have the right to my views and my decisions as he does. Well, Stuart Rhodes is the same. I may not agree with everything Stuart did or said or whatever, but I'm telling you, he is not an evil man. He does not deserve the proposed maximum sentence of 60 years for all of his supposed crimes while government IRS agents run around free and steal people's houses, and while government runs around Lois Lerner's free, all these different people. I mean, it's just insanity, folks. All right, we have the next 2 hours with a guest by the name of William Taylor Real. He's with a group called the County Sheriff Brigades of Pennsylvania. CSPP is what it's called. SheriffBrigadesOfPenn.com is their website. And we talked about the constitutional amendment process is increasingly being abused and misused to blur the separation of powers. Do we need a constitution? Asks one politician. We need a state and a general constitution. Yes, sir. And what we need is more obedience to it, not questioning if we need it. We asked if the attorney generals and the district attorneys are law enforcement officers, and they've been manipulated into being so across this country as they try to obliterate the sheriff, but they're not intended to be. They're in the judicial branch, not the executive branch, as is the sheriff. So we talked about the constitutional sheriff's movement and the right that they're doing, but you know what? Constitutional sheriff's movement urges law enforcement to intervene in election process. Caitlin Dixon, Yahoo News. Well, shame on Caitlin, because she perverts it through her whole article. She makes it sound like we believe the sheriff's a king and he can do anything he wants. That's a lie. But she also makes it seem like the sheriffs have no authority whatsoever to deal with crimes relating to elections in their county, and that's a lie, too. Sheriffs have responsibility to deal with all crimes, folks, and to prosecute crime. That's the sheriff's responsibility. They're trying to obliterate that and destroy that in America, but don't you fall for the lie. Sheriffs were around before the Republic was codified. Okay? Sheriffs have been around for, Shire had been around for a long, 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 long time. Anyway, the interview second hour with Bill continued, and you know what? We agree with Bill on 99% of everything. But you know what? Bill's a little bit frustrated because we acknowledge things, and I say that we live in the real and teach to the ideal. You know what? Bill has a problem with that. We discussed the inaction of Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Paul Pinzon. And I acknowledge that he's the sheriff. Bill says, no, he's a criminal. Well, I agree. He's done some criminal acts. But Bill says we cannot acknowledge these guys as the sheriffs. I say you got to deal with things as they really are. That's reality. Okay. So I appreciate, you know, not wanting to give him sheriff status. But, folks, he is the duly elected sheriff by the people in the county. Yes, has he done some wrong? Has he turned a blind eye to things that I believe are criminal and critical for the sheriff to do? Has he violated his oath of office? In my opinion, yes. So I agree with Bill on the point. But I'm not going to run around and say that, you know, President Biden's not the president. You know, this sheriff, Punzone's not the sheriff. I can't just delegitimize any government person anytime I want to because I want to. That doesn't change the fact that the, you know, 4.5 million people in Maricopa County consider this guy the sheriff. So does the law. So do the elections. And I can deny it all day long, but I'm not living in reality. Now, I am encouraging, because Pinzon won't listen to reason and the rule of law, I am encouraging the citizenry to replace him. Okay, so I'm doing everything that I can to teach and educate to the ideal. But we live in the real, folks, and we can't pretend this guy's not the sheriff. We can't pretend that Biden's not the president. We can't, you know, we can talk about their illegitimacy if we want to. But so Bill thinks I'm putting, at the end, he was mad at me after we got off the radio. He felt like I put words in his mouth I did not intend to. But we just have a fundamental difference, his group and our group, in terms of what we're doing. The CSPOA wants to be educating, educating, educating. And so does he. But he believes that we should back his organization and take steps that we don't believe make sense. I'm not going to run around and act like Bill or that Mr. Pinzon is not the sheriff. I'm not going to run around and act like Joe Biden is not the president. Okay, now, I agree that they've got some legitimacy problems and all that kind of stuff. I agree. But we got to live in the real and teach to the ideal. And our goal is to move the ideal towards the ideal more and more and more if we can. And, you know, sometimes it's a tactics difference. That's why I started out with the difference between me and Ammon Bundy. Look, Ammon Bundy wanted to take over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge. He felt like land issues were that important, and he felt good about his actions. I felt like I did not want to be on the inside. I did not want to go to jail. I felt like a different strategy should take place. But just because Ammon Bundy and I disagree on strategy, that doesn't mean we're not dear friends and we don't respect each other. We do, and we are. Same with me and Stuart Rhodes, and same with me and Mr. Bill. Hang tight. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kelly Finnegan, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Good morning, Sam.
Well, Brian Rust, RustKoenigsegg.com. Welcome, my friend.
Thanks, Sam. Glad to be with you.
There's so much time, so little talk. I want to start out with a political issue, then we'll get the Honest Money Report in seconds. You know, I had a guy on for 2 hours yesterday. His name is Bill, and he runs a sheriff's organization different from the CSPOA. And he kind of felt like saying that, you know, Joe Biden was president or that so-and-so was a sheriff, that I was kind of legitimizing their criminal activity. And so he feels like we should push harder and do more. And, you know, we have kind of a difference in strategy is all. We generally agree with the same points, but he seemed quite angry with me because I wouldn't go as far or with him as he wanted and or take the viewpoints that he's taking or the strategy. And I mentioned Ammon Bundy. You know, he took over the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, and I was asked to be the media man inside before anybody else, and I chose not to do that. So me and Ammon went kind of different directions. I even wrote a press release with Sheriff Richard Mack saying I don't agree with the takeover of the refuge, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, Stuart Rhodes now has been convicted, and I consider Stuart a dear friend, and I really love him, and I'm not going to bail on Ammon Bundy, and I'm not going to bail on Stuart Rhodes, but I will say Stuart had a different strategy than I would have proposed, and we can have our different views but still be dear friends. Well, this bill seems to think that somehow if I don't go along with his way, that somehow I'm not a friend or I'm not loyal or I'm putting words in his mouth or et cetera, et cetera. I want everyone to know on this radio, you know what? I march to my own drum. I'm Sam Bushman, baby. And everybody else has that same God-given, God-ordained right. And just because people think differently or believe differently or have a different take or a different strategy or a different action than I do, that doesn't mean we can't be dear friends. Brian, let's start with you. What do you say to that?
Right, Sam. I think that's what I really appreciate about you is you're not really tied to, you know, it's like Trump. You don't come right out. I mean, there's things that you don't like about Trump, and you say it, and you say it. You call it how it is, and I think I listened to a little bit of that. I didn't get quite, you know, the listen to the whole thing. But I think he did a great job. At some point, hopefully he'll come around to that. I mean, I didn't feel like you were trying to attack him, and you brought up your points, and I thought it went well. So I
think everything went pretty well at first, and I agreed with a lot of his points. I really do. I'm not at odds with this guy in a meaningful, big, huge way. We have slight differences of how we want to focus on things, but I don't want to say his wrong or his way is bad and evil and wrong, and he's, you know, involved with the criminals, and he's the enemy too, and we need to be very careful. This is one of the problems in the Patriot movement. We need to be very careful. Just because you disagree on a point, that doesn't mean we're enemies, people. Come on, stop. We need to just go about it our own way and collaborate on the things we agree on and set aside the things we don't agree on, and that's what the liberals do, and boy, are they successful, sad to say. Kelly, what's your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, if I could only be friends with everybody that agrees exactly with me, I wouldn't have any friends. So that's
not even your wife.
Yeah, I'd be your friend.
No, my wife and I, we have disagreements and things. Yeah. And Brian knows that I'm very out there on some things, but that doesn't mean you can't be. That's the problem we're having right now is we're so divided that everybody wants it to be theirs or nothing. You know, if you don't agree with me on this or you like this person or support this, then we can't be friends. And it's just ridiculous, you know. And I had a conversation yesterday with someone at work about cryptocurrency, and they love it and I don't, but we're really good friends, you know. And that's fine. Maybe I can learn something from her.
Did you just yeet them and just get rid of them entirely from your life and wipe them from your life completely, Kelly?
Oh, never. This is somebody I've known for 20 years. You know, why would I throw away 20 years of friendship?
Amen. Your point's spot on, and that is the exact quintessential point I'm making, Brian.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what I like. Most people, you know, that are, I would hope majority of the people that follow you see that. I mean, you're not throwing everybody under the bus. You try to befriend. You talk your points. You always come out and say, I have an opinion, which I should be able to have, right? And not that I disagree in this point. But you're kind and great about it. So that's what I love about you.
And I'll give you one example. Yesterday, somehow the guy got disconnected partway through the interview, and we did not intentionally let him go. And he, you know, says it wasn't on my end. Well, I don't know if it was on his end or our end. I have no idea. It did not happen on purpose. At first, we thought he hung up, but then we called him right back, and then he called us back at the same time. So while we got a voicemail because he was dialing us, then he got on the air and said, well, I'm the one that called you back. Well, the truth is we both called each other back, okay? And the truth is I don't care who called who. I just want to make it very clear that I was not chopping him off. I don't play those games. I don't do the Rush Limbaugh, we're going to abort somebody. Okay, if it's too heated of an argument to where I don't believe it's a productive discussion, then I'll just simply say, hey, we're going to have to let you go for now. And I'll make that very clear. But I'm not going to pretend. What? Are you there? I can't hear you. I must have lost him. Sorry. Okay, I'm not doing that. I don't play those games. Okay, we don't have all kinds of ways to vet people before they get on the radio. We don't have all kinds of ways to play those games. He got disconnected somehow, you know, and I don't know if it was the deep state trying to hose us both down or if it was just a legitimate, hey, no, things happen. I don't know. But all I know is we didn't cut the guy off, and I was just trying to help the audience understand that. Nature got all personal. Well, I'm not saying that you said that. Look, I don't even want to fight about it. I just want everybody to know no one intentionally dropped the call. You're back. Let's go. That's all. But it turned into this weird thing for some reason, and I don't even understand it. But I did want the audience to know. I don't just chop people off like that. I don't believe in it. If we can't come to an understanding, I'll just tell you, I got to go. Thanks so much for the call. I got to go. And I'll even let them, you know, hey, do you want a parting shot? That's fine, too. As long as you don't swear or do things that will get me in trouble from the FCC, I'll let you finish as long as you're reasonable. Now, if you want to monopolize my radio program for an hour and pretend that's me letting you finish, that's abuse and that's wrong, too, and I'm not doing it. So there's some lines there. But I try to be really careful about this, Kelly, because everybody matters.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of the guys that I respect is Jim Rome, and he does a sports thing, and I haven't listened to him for a long time. But he would let people get on and give their take and talk, and he wouldn't interrupt them. And then he'd say, thanks for calling. And then he would, you know, have a rebuttal or something about that. But he didn't get into this fighting back and forth thing. And unfortunately, that's what Sean Hannity loves, and I can't stand that.
Yeah,
like let's have a discussion. Let's have a discussion.
Amen. The other thing is, I don't know that I like when you let somebody go too, and then you have the rebuttal where they don't get to respond to your response. It always makes you look like the king of the of the airwaves, because I can always, whatever you say, I can have my rebuttal, and if I get the last word, you know. So there's a little bit of an issue with that too. The problem is, and I agree with Jim on this, though, you can't just let somebody argue back and forth and monopolize your radio program. There are those people who are enemies of liberty, and they just love to get on and just argue points that are worthless and a waste of time with me for 2 hours and just waste all my airtime, you know. So there's a balance. You can't let that happen either, Brian. There's a way to be respectful. There's also a way to not let them abuse you either.
Right, and I think that's it. That's what made America great, right? That we all have an opportunity to say and speak and share our ideas. And like you said, yeah, we might not agree with your ideas or that, but I don't think that was your intention at all. I mean, you bring a person on because you'd like to know more about what he's trying to accomplish under that organization, and you and Sheriff Mackett, you know. And your side of it and how you're kind of running with things. And that brings out where people can kind of see what's happening or what both sides or what their institution is and that they can decide how to kind of move forward. So I think you did good.
All right. I want to bring this subject up, and it's a very touchy subject, but I know you gentlemen can handle it and you won't freak out and back away. So that's why I bring it up with you guys. As you know, I don't know what a white supremacist is because I don't believe in that view. I believe we're all God's children and we should behave like that. I don't give a rip what color you are. And, you know, to mock them who say that I'm a white supremacist, I just need to know what color somebody is so I can know how I should behave. I joke, but to say I don't even know what color someone is. So much for that racial debate here. But Donald Trump had some people come to Mar-a-Lago, and they had dinner together. And Donald Trump and Kanye West have been friends for some time, as you all know. And Kanye West has had some meltdown trouble lately, and he's gone kind of anti-Semitic, some claim, and this about the Jews and that about this and whatever. And so Donald Trump felt like when Kanye West asked for a meeting, Donald said sure, and he thought he could discuss and give advice to his dear friend Kanye, who's thinking about running for president in 2024. And Kanye asked Donald to be his running mate and all this stuff. But when Yee is his name now, I guess, went to the Mar-a-Lago dinner, he brought a few friends with him. And the few friends turned out to be supposedly unsavory characters, don't you know? One of them was the guy by the name of Milo Yiannopoulos. And this guy has been kind of a white supremacist guy, they claim. He was gay and he'd promote that agenda. He would stir things up wildly. That's one guy that was there. Another guy that was there is a guy by the name of Nick Fuentes. And I want to talk about these guys a little bit and put it in context. And I'm hoping for Brian and Kelly to help me break this down in a meaningful way. We'll do it in seconds. We also got the Honest Money Report coming up. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Russia must pay for its horrific crimes, including for its crime of aggression against a sovereign state. And this is why, while continuing to support the International Criminal Court, we are proposing to set up a specialized court backed by the United Nations to investigate and prosecute Russia's crime of aggression.
European Union President Ursula von der Leyen on Wednesday is considering the idea of a specialized court to put Russia's top officials on trial over their invasion of Ukraine. The Biden administration's request to halt a Texas judge's ruling blocking its student debt transfer program was turned down by a federal appeals court on Wednesday night, saying it violated federal procedures. Two separate storms will cover much of the Mountain West with snow through the weekend. The heaviest snow will fall in California's Sierra Nevada mountains, with multiple feet expected. The second storm will drop southward from Alaska and arrive along the northwest coast later Friday, and then impact other parts of the West into the weekend. With one more Senate seat available, the runoff in Georgia will determine if Republicans will have the ability to slow down the government spending that's resulted in inflation. Katie Lewis has more.
A new poll shows a virtual deadlock in Georgia's Senate runoff 5 days before Election Day. The survey from Emerson College Polling and The Hill has Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock with 49% support from likely voters, while Republican challenger Herschel Walker is the choice of 47%. The two-point difference is within the poll's margin of error.
World Cup soccer matches in Qatar continue. The United States will face the Netherlands at 4 in the morning Eastern on Saturday. USA Radio News.
What's the best product I bought this year? Oh, that's easy. Salonpas pain relieving patches. The proven medicines in Salonpas patches reduce my pain and let me do the things I need to do every day.
In a recent clinical study, patients using Salonpas reported improved sleep, mood, and the ability to work. They had less pain and were able to reduce their use of oral pain medications.
For pain, I use Salonpas. It's good medicine. He sent me to.
The buy one, get one free special going on now at MyPillow. MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, the Roll and Go, Go Anywhere MyPillows, and a six-piece towel sets on special. Go to MyPillow.com/USA, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175 and find out all the great deals you can get right now at MyPillow. MyPillow.com/USA.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Brian Rust, Kelly Finnegan, and yours truly in the roundtable. So we're talking about this fiasco with Donald Trump. The mainstream press literally just out of control attacking Donald. Donald had Kanye over to dinner at Mar-a-Lago, his club. Kanye brought a few unsavory friends with him, supposedly. Kanye speaking out now boldly against Jewish Zionism and influence and this and that, and speaking out. And I don't agree with Yee's comments at all, by the way. Milo Yiannopoulos is a supposed white supremacist guy as well. Now, he says he arranged the dinner between former President Donald Trump and white nationalist Nick Fuentes in order to make Donald's life miserable, according to NBC News. Now, Milo has always been a guy to create unique circumstances to get fame and fortune. And I've met him before, and, you know, I'm not really pleased with the guy. He promoted his gay agenda for a long time, and then he said he reneged on being gay. And the guy just does stuff, in my opinion, for this kind of fiasco. But Nicholas J. Fuentes, who is this guy, you may ask, right? Well, the mainstream press wants you just to listen to who they say he is. But I went to Nick's website to determine who he is. Is that fair? Okay. And Nick Fuentes says, you know, on his website, it says, who is Nick Fuentes? An American live streamer, news commentator, and host of America First, which is his, you know, talk show, whatever you want to call it. Now, what I find fascinating is they say this Fuentes guy is a super white supremacist. But if you go on Fuentes' webpage, Fuentes says he's of Mexican descent via his paternal ancestors. Now, I don't really understand. I'm kind of a blind guy, so I can't figure this out. Maybe you guys can help me. If the guy's of Mexican descent, how is he a white supremacist? Oh, because he has these anti-Semitic views, don't you know? He hates the Jews, and, this guy, he denies the Holocaust, and he self-identifies as this movement, and he's a Catholic and a Christian nationalist, and they're just going off psychotic. Let's have Brian respond first. What do you say to this whole fiasco, Brian?
Well, it gave Chuck Schumer an opportunity to get on the Senate floor and denounce all this. But, they can throw people here and put their here. And I don't know what, their agenda was, basically coming to the dinner and what they were trying to accomplish. Maybe Milo, he was trying to. It seems like he just wants to spark some kind of a controversy, possibly. But obviously the media is going to jump on this and run with it, just because they're anything that Trump does at this point, they're going to jump on and really throw the negative at him. So I think they're scared of Trump. I don't know all the ins and outs of really what went on in that dinner, but I don't know who Nick is really as well, but I don't know why he, but they're going to dig and throw whatever mud they're going to on out there on the media scope.
Kelly, do you want to respond? And then I want to give my take last. It's not that I need your take to give my take. I just don't want to take all the air out of the room, which sometimes I do unintentionally. But what do you think, Kelly?
Well, it sounds like there were four people there that want to keep their names in the news. And so they do whatever. But, yeah, on that one, he probably should have called it, let's not do this. This doesn't look good. And once again, we've got to put labels on people,
Yeah, but here's the problem that I have. I want to jettison the label for a second. And I want to quit these labels that say white supremacist Donald, white supremacist Milo, white supremacist Nick Fuentes or whatever. Let's stop all that and say, look, Fuentes is of, at least from his paternal side, Mexican descent. Now, I don't know how you're a white supremacist when you're not white. Now, Donald's white, but Kanye West is black all the way, right? And if this Fuentes guy is half Mexican, then how do they say he's a white guy and a white supremacist, even though he's half Mexican? But you see, don't you know Barack Obama's half white, half black? But see, he's black, don't you know? How do you take the Mexican guy who's half Mexican, half white, and say he's white, and take the black guy who's half white and half black and say he's black? How does that all work, Kelly?
Well, Sam, really quick. Hey, they call Ben Shapiro and Dennis Prager Nazis, and they're both Orthodox Jews, so they'll throw a name tag on anybody that they want to try to defame them without people looking into it.
Amen. And that's my whole point. That's why when I want to know who Nick is, I looked at the wiki page because I want to get a separate view. Then I looked at his own page, and now I've drawn my views. Brian?
See, I think that's where the media jumps in. I mean, this media-driven, they say whatever they want to say. They retract maybe here in a little phrase that nobody hears or sees. They do and push and continue to push their agenda. So that media-driven name-calling and so on is – those people that aren't going to go and do their homework, do their due diligence and so on, are relying upon those words and those people pushing out that news. And that's happening throughout. We've talked about that in many episodes where this news-driven leftist thought process. And then if they do make a mistake, they hardly ever are accountable for it. It's maybe a little blurb. Oh, sorry, we made a mistake right here. But no one would see that or hear that. But that's their driven agenda.
Now, here's my problem with this whole thing. All right? Here's my big issue. Number one, we're letting the media tell us who Nick is, not who Nick says he is. Nick says he's a commentator, a streamer, or this and that. Nick says, I'm not a white supremacist. Well, I have to agree with him. He's half Mexican. Okay? He says, the only thing I identify with is Christian American. Well, by golly, I'm a Christian American too. Are you, Brian?
Yeah.
Whoa, you and Nick, you guys are, see, That's the lie they go on. Wow, Sam, right. He identifies exactly like Nick does. Ooh, see, this is the problem. Now, do I agree if he denies the Holocaust? No, I don't, because I believe the Holocaust happened, okay?
Right.
But you know what? If he is a Holocaust denier, if he says it didn't even happen, or if he says it didn't happen the way the government says it did, they lump everybody into, if you don't agree exactly with the government narrative, you're a denier. See, this is the label thing again. I don't believe the Holocaust happened exactly the way the government told us it did. And I believe when they leave out Holodomor as an evil slaughter, but yet focus on the Holocaust as the worst one, they err as well. Holodomor was worse than World War II, the Holocaust. Both of them were evil and wrong, don't get me wrong. And I'm not denying either of them. I'm just saying that you can't promote one, and then if I challenge any narrative on it, call me a denier, then I bring up a worse crime than that, and you ignore me? Okay, the narrative is what we're talking about. But here's the deal. Let me understand this. So let's say he does deny the Holocaust. Let's say that Nick and Yi, a Mexican guy and a black guy, I don't know how they're white supremacists, but there you go, say Jews are at fault for everything, they control Hollywood, and the Holocaust never happened. And let's say they say all that. Now, do we believe they have a right to their own beliefs, Kelly, or not?
Oh, sure. If you want to keep believing the earth's flat, that's fine.
Go right ahead.
Yeah. So,
okay, I don't agree with you.
Yeah, opinions are like belly buttons. You know, everybody's got one.
Okay, but here's the problem. If somebody promotes bisexual, transgender, lies about your gender, you know, has these perverted viewpoints, pedophiles on children, I could go on and on and on with the sins in America today. Baby murdering doctors and all this kind of stuff. You know, vaccine truth deniers, all this stuff, birthers, whatever. How come the only people we're not allowed to talk to is the, quote, white supremacist guy or the Holocaust denier guy or the Jew hater guy? How are they worse than the baby murdering or the gay lesbian promoting or the whatever? How is one group just fine to talk to? If I surround myself with gays and say they have every right to their views, I'm a hero. If I talk to a white supremacist, if I talk to Nick once, he's not even white. Then I'm an enemy. I'm somehow, man, Donald should have never done that interview. Or Donald should have never tried to have Yi to dinner. That was a horrible mistake. Boy, did he get, he'll ruin his chances in 24. Man, he talked to a guy that thought Holocaust didn't exist. Oh my gosh, he ate dinner with him. They drank water. He, oh man, how do we create this psychotic idea that even if you are a white supremacist, now I disagree with the view completely. But even if you do think Jews control Hollywood, I think that. Go look at the rosters of who owns what, and you'll find out it's true. That doesn't mean that I hate the Jews, though, just because I acknowledge they control a lot of the media. But see, well, if you say something like that, you're just done, Kelly.
Well, I was going to say, how many mass murderers has Joe Biden met with in the last 2 years?
Yeah, but he's okay. He didn't meet with a white supremacist.
But that's okay. No. Yeah, he's just trying to do something, you know. Yeah, he goes and begs the Saudis to drill more oil, but hey, you know what, he's a green energy guy in that, and no, you know, but it's whoever controls the media, and there's people that don't want to broaden their knowledge, so they just take that little bit that gets shoved down their throat.
All right, Brian's words are more important than the break. Can you skip the break for me? Hey, Brian, I want to know, yeah, for you, sir, should I be nice to ye?
Nice to everybody.
What? Are you kidding me? This guy is a Jew.
You don't have to go along with their agenda, but you can be nice.
I can be kind to ye.
No, you
can
don't.
Can I
have,
be kind, I mean, to this Yiannopoulos guy?
You don't have to. I mean, it's basically, you don't have to associate with them if you don't like kind of where, what they're doing and trying to accomplish. But you don't have to be a mean person, right? You don't have to be.
Yeah, we love. But let's say that I don't know, and Yi wants to go to dinner and talk about his presidential bid. I want to give him some advice and say, you know, Yi, I don't think you'll win. You don't have a chance. But you know, I wouldn't spend my money there. There's a lot of better ways you could influence things, etc. And I meet with Yi. Should I ever do that, or should I be willing to meet with, let's say, the North Korean dictators and the communist Chinese and all these people, but yet I won't touch, say, Yi with a 10-foot pole?
Depends who's paying for the dinner. But no, I'm just joking. But
but all these guys are rich. Any of them could pay for dinner, right?
What
look,
he's
not broke. Donald's not broke.
What's that, Kelly?
I said, what would Jesus do? I mean, he met with tax collectors and Gentiles.
He never met with
everything.
No white supremacists you hate in Holocaust deniers,
well,
though.
Well, you know.
See, that's where you draw the line, Kelly.
Well, and they never called him a Nazi either, even though he was a Jew. So, you know, why not?
Oh, yeah, good points all the way around. See, and this is the problem that I have. I'm not defending Yiannopoulos' views. I'm not defending Yee's views. I'm not defending Fuentes' views or Donald Trump's views. Okay? But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to reject this satanic lie from the pit of hell that says if you meet with somebody, if you're kind to somebody, if you, then somehow you adopt everything they believe and think based on this interaction, this social blame, or somehow I'm, you know, guilt by association idea, or buzzwords that just make people go, whoa, you can't even, that guy's a leper. He's a new media leper. Don't you dare touch Fuentes. Golly, he's a white supremacist. The guy's a Mexican. Now, do I have any problem with the fact that he's a Mexican? No, I'm pointing out that you claim he's a white supremacist because he has views that you believe are white supremacist-ish. What's a white supremacist-ish view in the first place? That all Jews are bad? That the first, you know, thing that, hey, all of them think that way. Well, I think there's bad Jews and good Jews. How about that, Brian?
Yeah, can that be? But you're right on, Sam. I mean, it's, you're basically the this media driven. You're guilty by association, especially, you know, Trump. I mean, he's trying to run. You look, you can't. Well, I mean, are we saying Biden's never met with anybody? That's it's the same thing. It's the agenda of this media driven. Yeah, they're gonna keep pushing their agenda.
Now, here's the other interesting thing. Yiannopoulos said that he arranged the meeting to cause all this trouble for the Donald and just make his life pure heck. Nicholas Fuentes says, wait a minute, I wasn't involved in any setup. I just went there because I am a political commentator, and I thought meeting with the Donald would be great. And he is not saying that he set anybody up either. But here's the problem. Donald Trump now is running from these guys going, oh, my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Somebody's got to have some cojones here, Kelly, to stand up and go, you know what? I met with those guys. I disagree with several of their views. I will meet with you even if I disagree with your view, gay and lesbian promoter, bisexual, transgender promoter, completely against science, baby murderer who believes in abortion. You need to have the Ron Paul view. Here's what happened. A bunch of prostitutes donated to Ron Paul's campaign back in the day. And so the media tried to trap Ron Paul, and they're like, hey, you got all these prostitutes supporting your campaign. What do you say to them? And he goes,
all right.
I don't agree with their prostitution, but one thing they do right, I'm not going to blame them for doing something right for once.
That's right.
Amen. That's what I'm talking
Amen.
About.
Okay. Right.
So I'll have Fuentes on the radio. I'll have David Duke on the radio. I'll have any of these people because you know what? I would like a chance to influence them for good, Brian. I'd like a chance to use the kind, patient, long-suffering influence of my political prowess or expertise or whatever you want to call it to let them know that, you know what, there might be some bad Jews, I agree, but there's a lot of good Jewish people. There might be some guys that are, there might be this and that. The Holocaust may not be as the government said it was, but you know what, it did happen, and there's a lot of suffering, and you know, speaking out against them or this and that, sometimes you make a lot of people very hurt inside if you just ignore legitimate things that happen to their loved ones and things. And we can be more cautious and careful in our language, Yee. We can be more patient and kind and give people the benefit of the doubt, Yiannopoulos. We can do things to bring people together, not divide, sir. Fuentes, you know what? Let's back off on the you know, rhetoric here, because it's not as helpful as you hope, and maybe I can influence them for good, and my comments and conversation wouldn't be because we're going to do the guilt by association lie. My conversation would be more of the idea that, you know what, I can be kind to you, I can treat you as Jesus would treat you, and I can use my influence, hopefully, for good with them, too. Just like if I meet with the baby killer, I'd try to get them to believe in life. Just like if I met with the cross, transgender, whatever, I'd try to get them to understand true science. And that matches God's law, which is male and female created in them. And I would influence whatever ill-gotten view, the flat earth guy, whatever. I would try to use my influence and my friendship over time to encourage them to be in a better place. And if I'm guilty for that, let the chips fall where they may, Brian.
No doubt about it, Sam. I think, you know, the key to that is to be in a better place. Absolutely. And the our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I mean, change was all, it was all about change. You know, sin no more and go thy way and sin no more. Let's, you know, and but he didn't cross the street to avoid the person, right?
Would I meet with Pol Pot's of the day? Sure, I would. Would I meet with Mao Zedong? Would I meet with Hitler? Sure, I would. Does it mean I agree with them? Absolutely not.
Right?
I'd interview some of the serial killers in prison, too. Doesn't mean I agree with them or I'm okay with them by any stretch of the imagination, Kelly.
No, I mean, that's exactly right. And Milo's the one that really wanted to stir things up, and he has the agenda. I mean, if it hadn't been for him, the other three probably could have met and not had the problems. I'm sure he's trying to direct that narrative in the wrong way. But yeah, we can't even have a discourse now. And this really hasn't popped up since everybody's been able to speak because of the internet. So I guess the media, we can see how much they were able to control things before everybody could talk. And they're just trying to defend that little bit of control that they had at one time.
Now, would I meet with Milo? Yes, I would. And you know what my message to Milo would be? Milo, listen, making Donald Trump's life hard or intentionally making anyone's life hard, shame on you for that, sir. You know what? Let's try to find a way to make people's lives better, to lighten one another's burdens. Whether we agree or disagree on any topic under the sun, let's try to bring people to a better place. Let's try to use love and patience and kindness and influence and long-suffering and encouragement. And let's use what we can to build relationships of trust. And that's where I come from. And I don't care who I'm talking to or who I'm with. Now, does that mean I'm going to hang out with ye every day? I'm not saying that. Okay? As Brian wisely said, look, I'm not choosing to associate necessarily. But I'm saying this idea that because Donald, I mean, he can meet with anybody on the planet he wants, but golly, not a white supremacist. He can meet with North Korean dictators. And that's no problem. But, man, you meet with Fuentes, the Mexican guy that's a white supremacist, supposedly? Oh, don't you dare. Man, that'll just ruin your whole, that'll take your whole aspirations as president. You can be in bed with a communist Chinese and have proof with your son and business dealings and no harm, no foul. But you talk to Fuentes, man, you're done. See, this is just psychotic, and we've got to push back, and nobody has the guts to push back like I do, Brian, not even the Donald. Donald wimps out, and I take it on for the poor gentleman. I'll come on, I'll get Donald on the radio and say, Donald, quit wimping out, buddy, I'm by your side.
Right.
Okay, that's, why are we wimping out, and why are we melting down over this instead of just saying, you guys are off your rock crazy? Come on.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's move on, though. Let's hear what Gold's doing right now, Brian.
Gold's 1803.10.
1803.10, that's up a little bit?
Yeah, it's up $40 from last couple weeks. We were
18310, silver?
2271.
2271. What do you say to that, Kelly?
Well, it's showing you that this FTX collapse and everything, people are realizing that there's nothing like the real thing, you know.
Wow, what do you say, Brian?
Well, that's it. I mean, I agree. Yeah, that FTX imploded, and you know, a lot of billions of investments that have—it's more than a million creditors there now. So whatever. Yeah. Anyway, a lot of issues going on with that.
Yeah, and you, Brian, or I mean Kelly, mentioned this former crypto billionaire, and they call him a Democratic Party mega donor, Sam Bankman Fried or Freed or whatever. He revealed that he gave large sums of money to Republicans in a November 29th interview. He basically said that he told crypto YouTuber Tiffany Fong, hey, all my Republican donations were dark. It was under the table because, man, the media folks go crazy if they find this out. So I donated with dark money so that no one would know. But I basically donated $37 million to Democrats and about the same amount to Republicans. And now, you know what? This guy used a loophole in the Citizens United rule to donate all this money and everything else. And I submit this is literally election fraud to donate this kind of dark money to these people. Brian?
Yeah, absolutely. just what's going to be the ripple effect of all this? We'll watch and see, huh?
Well, what you have in my mind is this scenario where this guy donated this big money. George Soros does it. This guy does it. And we claim there's no election fraud, but we're talking about billions of dollars. This guy's the second largest donor behind George Soros, who contributed over $128 million to Democrats this cycle alone. And then we say there's no election fraud. And now this big old scandal and everybody else is holding the bag, but the Republicans and Democrats who got the donations, no harm, no foul for them, Kelly.
Yeah, we got to make it look like it's all one side. He does, so they because the media, liberal progressive media, so he's got to cater to them. But he wanted to play both sides of the table, supposedly, so that he had it covered. But we haven't had a free election in the United States for maybe 100 years, honestly.
George Soros put over $128 million. The Democrats' cycle alone, Brian. Then I claim there's election fraud, and they say, you don't have any evidence, Sam. What? What are we talking about, Brian? We can't even have conversations like this, sir.
No, that's right. I mean, it's showing its ugly face, but they're gonna deny it or spin it a different route, and now we're gonna talk about something else, and then like a dinner at Trump's place, and then it's just a way of the world that we live, right now.
Now, before his empire collapsed, this guy, I don't know if you know this, but he made inferences. He raised the possibility of spending $1 billion on the 2024 election during a podcast interview, Brian.
Yeah, he is it ye who has the money, or is it that makes the rules, or is it the gold that makes the rules, or used to be something to that effect, but money talks, I guess. Doesn't even matter where you get the money, I guess.
Brian, Kelly, you want to comment on this? I mean, it's just, and we say there's no vote fraud. You're crazy. There's no evidence. But yet George Soros spends $128 million on a midterm election. And now this guy's literally on a podcast before he went broke in this scandal. He said, hey, I'm possibly going to put $1 billion into 2024, man.
And
is going on,
and
Kelly.
It wasn't his money either. It was people that were trusting him with their money. That's whose money he was using. But they're just gonna, this isn't true. This isn't true. This is, and it's just, I don't know. There really is almost no way to fix that at all. Except for build it back up with the elections. It's totally get rid of all donations. If you want to do it that way. But that's why your tax forms are so long, so you can hide stuff.
There you have it. Last story before the end of the hour, Brian. Criminal IRS forks over Trump's tax returns to Congress.
All right. How's that looking?
Well, I personally believe it's a problem because, first off, I think the IRS is criminal and unconstitutional, but that's a whole nother topic. That's an opinion to which I'm entitled, ladies and gentlemen. But I will say this, though. What's interesting to me is that means any of our taxes can be turned over to whoever fights for them in court and has enough money and mojo to make it happen. That means privacy concerns are out the window. That's my problem. Who else can those tax returns go to now that, 435 members of the House have them? Or these committees have them, whatever. Who can control where your information goes? You have no guarantee of privacy anymore by this criminal agency, Brian. Last word's yours.
Well, let's turn to God. We need more freedom, right? Instead of this dictatorship of just taking us down the wrong hole.
Kelly, finish up, buddy.
Keep it up, Sam. Keep pushing.
All right, we tell the tale as we see it, ladies and gentlemen. We're not afraid of anybody. You call me a white supremacist, go ahead. I'll debate it with you anytime, anywhere, any place, though. I'll tell you that right now. I believe people are all children of God, and we should treat each other kindly with love and respect and dignity, even if you absolutely disagree with what they say, believe, or think. Got it? Good. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. We were talking to Brian Rust, RustCoinandGift.com, and God Save the Republic.